and the Christian hero appeared on a milk-white steed, brandishing his lance against the pagans of Bulgaria. An absurd fable, says the Catholic historian, since Copronymus is chained with the demons in the abyss of hell. Leo the Fourth, the son of the fifth and the father of the sixth Constantine, was of a feeble constitution both of mind and body, and the principal care of his reign was the settlement of the succession. The association of the young Constantine was urged by the officious zeal of his subjects, and the emperor, conscious of his decay, complied, after a prudent hesitation, with their unanimous wishes. The royal infant, at the age of 5 years, was crowned with his mother Irene, and the national consent was ratified by every circumstance of pomp and solemnity that could dazzle the eyes or bind the conscience of the Greeks. An oath of fidelity was administered in the palace, the church, and the hippodrome, to the several orders of the state, who adjured the holy names of the Son and Mother of God. Be witness, O Christ, that we will watch over the safety of Constantine, the son of Leo, expose our lives in his service, and bear true allegiance to his person and posterity. They pledged their faith on the wood of the true cross, and the act of their engagement was deposited on the altar of Saint Sophia. The first to swear, and the first to violate their oath, were the 5 sons of Copronymus by a second marriage, and the story of these princes is singular and tragic. The right of primogeniture excluded them from the throne. The injustice of their elder brother defrauded them of a legacy of about 2 millions sterling. Some vain titles were not deemed a sufficient compensation for wealth and power, and they repeatedly conspired against their nephew before and after the death of his father. Their first attempt was pardoned. For the second offence, they were condemned to the ecclesiastical state, and for the third treason, Nicephorus, the eldest and most guilty, was deprived of his eyes, and his 4 brothers, Christopher, Nicetas, Anthemus, Eudoxus, were punished, as a milder sentence, by the amputation of their tongues. After 5 years' confinement, they escaped to the church of St. Sophia, and displayed a pathetic spectacle to the people. "Countrymen and Christians," cried Nicephorus for himself and his mute brethren, "behold the sons of your emperor, if you can still recognize our features in this miserable state. A life, an imperfect life, is all that the malice of our enemies has spared. It is now threatened, and we now throw ourselves on your compassion." The rising murmur might have produced a revolution had it not been checked by the presence of a minister who soothed the unhappy princes with flattery and hope, and gently drew them from the sanctuary to the palace. They were speedily embarked for Greece, and Athens was allotted for the place of their exile. In this calm retreat, and in their helpless condition, Nicephorus and his brothers were tormented by the thirst of power, and tempted by a Sclavonian chief who offered to break their prison and to lead them in arms and in the purple to the gates of Constantinople. But the Athenian people, ever zealous in the cause of Irene, prevented her justice or cruelty, and the 5 sons of Copronymus were plunged in eternal darkness and oblivion.
Leo's wife Irene conspired against him, and managed to gain the throne despite her sex. As Gibbon puts it, the Roman world bowed to the government of a female. But she was not popular. The patricians conspired against her and overthrew her, selecting the treasurer Nicephorus as her successor, of whom Gibbon writes, "Many tyrants have reigned undoubtedly more criminal than Nicephorus, but none perhaps have more deeply incurred the universal abhorrence of their people. His character was stained with the 3 odious vices of hypocrisy, ingratitude, and avarice." Nicephorus was slain in battle against the Bulgarians, and another palace administrator, Michael, became emperor. But Michael I was also quickly toppled by a palace coup, giving way to Leo V in 813 AD, whose close companion was another Michael, Michael the Phrygian.
Educated in a camp, and ignorant both of laws and letters, Leo V introduced into his civil government